We've got an Obamacare checkup for you this morning as Aetna becomes the latest big insurance carrier to pull out of several Affordable Care Act markets. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary, in for David Brancaccio. The insurance company Aetna announced a major pullback last night from the health insurance exchanges set up by the Affordable Care Act. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzert joins me now live to explain what's going on. Hi, Nancy.
Hey, Lizzie.
So tell me what Aetna's doing exactly.
Well, Aetna says it will stop selling health insurance on the exchanges in about two-thirds of the counties it now serves. That would cut its participation from 778 to just 242 counties starting next year. It's going to keep selling policies on the exchanges in four states: Delaware, Iowa, Nebraska, and Virginia.
Okay, so why are they doing this?
In a word, Lizzie, money. In a statement issued last night, Aetna says it's had a pre-tax loss of more than $430 million since January of 2014. It also says it can't provide, quote, high-quality healthcare options without a balanced risk pool. And that is, too many sick people are signing up for health insurance on the exchanges, and they're not balanced out by enough young, healthy people.
So where do we go from here? How does this affect the exchanges overall?
Well, consumers are going to have fewer options because two other big insurance companies, UnitedHealth and Humana, have also announced plans to pull back from the exchanges. Aetna, by the way, is trying to acquire Humana. The Justice Department is suing to block that merger. The New York Times says some Obama administration officials are accusing Aetna of pulling out of the exchanges in retaliation.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer, thank you. Now let's do the numbers. The 100 share index in London is down about 0.3%. The DAX in Germany down 0.6%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all down. Venezuela is in the middle of terrible food shortages amid that country's economic crisis. And this weekend, the government took some steps to try to help out. It reopened the border with Colombia, allowing residents to walk across to the neighboring country to get what they desperately need. Marketplace's Sabri Benishore reports.
Venezuela's government opened the border because it had to do something.
The immediate cause is massive unrest in Venezuela because of food shortages and shortages of basic commodities.
Bruce Bagley is professor of international studies at the University of Miami, but many Venezuelans who crossed the border didn't find what they were looking for.
People just assumed that prices would be a lot cheaper in Colombia.
Steve Elner is professor of economic history at Universidad de Oriente in Anzoátegui, Venezuela. Prices, it turns out, were just as high as on Venezuela's black market.
Some people returned to Venezuela empty-handed. Others were somewhat disappointed.
One reason, Venezuela's embattled currency. Stephen Kaplan teaches political science at George Washington University.
You've had a plummeting of the bolivar. So the ability of Venezuelan citizens to actually purchase goods is also quite devastated.
The poorest Venezuelans now have more places to shop at prices they can't afford. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore for Marketplace.
Target reports its second quarter earnings tomorrow. Analysts will be looking to see how the company's doing selling groceries, among other things. Target's been hurt by lack of selection and limited stock on that front. So the company's been trying to beef up its grocery offerings, including expanding its private label food brands. Those products are typically cheaper than the big national brands and, crucial for the company, deliver higher margins. Marketplace's Annie Baxter has more.
Grocery at Target is a $20 billion business, but a lot of those sales come from shoppers who buy groceries there almost accidentally. They're mainly there to buy something else. One way Target is trying to fix that involves, well, ice cream, of course.
This is a peanut butter caramel one. This one's quite delicious.
Lindsay Small is a food scientist at Target. She's in one of the test kitchens at headquarters in Minneapolis, and she's slicing into a pint of ice cream under the private label brand Archer Farms. She wants to make sure the supplier produced it to Target specs, which were shaped by customer feedback.
We did concept testing where we actually tested with external guests and said, which of these would you prefer to buy? And this very indulgent pint-sized ice cream was something that they were really interested in.
The team working on private label foods here is trying to develop products that won't just seem like cheap knockoffs of some name brand items. Amanda Irish leads the team.
We want to make sure that we are really reflecting some of the coolest emerging things that are happening in food in the country.
So that means private label products like maple bourbon pickles or spicy Bloody Mary trail mix. Kantar retail analyst Amy Koo says other big retailers like Trader Joe's and Costco have had a lot of success with their in-house brands. Some people may even prefer them to name brand products. But Koo says Target does take a risk in displacing some of the name brand items with its own brands.
Do guests actually want that? Well, I guess this is going to be an experiment.
Part of that experiment involves just getting customers to notice it. At a Twin Cities Target, shopper Christine Johnson says she likes organic foods and good deals, which is pretty much the sweet spot of Target's Simply Balanced brand. But that hasn't really registered with her.
The Simply Balanced has a lot of organic stuff in it. Is that something that you tend to gravitate towards much?
The Simply Balanced, which one is that?
As Target puts more emphasis on those in-house brands, they might become harder to miss. In Minneapolis, I'm Annie Baxter for Marketplace.
There's news this morning. The Obama administration is about to put federal student aid dollars into 8 private companies to help train students. The Education Department will offer $17 million in loans and grants to places like coding academies, education websites, and even General Electric, according to the Wall Street Journal. The idea is to push alternative forms of education in an economy where students are often saddled with high debt burdens after graduating from traditional schools. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. Our engineer this week is Bill Lance. In New York, I'm Lizzie O'Leary with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.